We are beginning a sermonic journey on being the church. Just on last week, Reverend Lonnie London preached to us about being the church. And understand that the church is an organism, not an organization. It is alive, it is vibrant. It is the instrument by which God proclaims his word. And as I began to do my study for this series on being the church, it became apparent to me that there's a stark contrast between the first century church and the church that we have today. And after investigating the text, after looking at this ecclesia, this called out church, in which God had called on the day of Pentecost, I see that they had something that we just don't have today. They had power. Now, don't get me wrong, because power is not about us jumping and shouting. It's not about me prophesying, laying on of hands. There's nothing wrong with that. So if you're Pentecostal in your heart, don't get mad at me today. But what I want to tap into is this real, genuine power that the Holy Spirit comes to offer us. Now, understand that there's nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit. There's absolutely nothing wrong with God. So that just leaves us. There's a problem with us as the church, because we've confused the Holy Spirit with what's known as sensationalism. You see, the Holy Spirit is that true power. It is that transformational power. Listen, it is that lasting power. Sensationalism will make you feel good because it is steeped in emotionalism. The design is to just get you emotionally aroused. But understanding that that is not what's going to sustain the church. And so what we want to do is we want to go back to the beginning. We'll go back to the beginning, even back before the establishment of the church. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, the first chapter. But we're also going to look at the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter. But our focal verse is going to be in the book of Acts. Say amen if you have it. Amen. Chapter number one. We're going to take a look at verse number 4 through verse number 8. Now understand, Jesus has been risen from the dead. We're about 40 days out from his resurrection. Beginning at verse number 4, it says, "And being assembled together," who is this? The disciples, "with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, if you will, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter. Let me just read verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And for these few moments, like, take for a thought the promise of the power. The promise of the power. On last week, Reverend London explained to us the prophecy concerning the church. This was a forward-looking prophecy. At the time that the disciples heard it, they did not really understand what Jesus was really referencing. Part of the reason why is because they had not yet been endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. And understand that none of us can do anything that will please God apart from the Holy Spirit. And as I say, I began to survey the church and began to look at the church of that day. The church of that day, as a matter of fact, even before the church of that day, understood what it meant to be obedient to the word of God. As I mentioned, Jesus is about 40 days out from his resurrection. He's walked with his disciples. He's taken this opportunity to prepare them. He's let them know that their mission is to feed the sheep. As a matter of fact, he gives this commission to Peter himself. And you remember as they're walking, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? And Peter's response, yes, I love you, Lord. He said, then feed my sheep. He asked him a second time, do you love me? He said, of course I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. Jesus comes back one more time, a third time, just to make sure Peter understands what he's saying. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter began to get frustrated and say, my Lord, you know that I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. And understand, Peter is still perplexed about this because immediately he begins to ask about somebody else. Because he does not have the Spirit of God resonating in him as of yet. In other words, Peter, even walking with Jesus, listen here, even witnessing and seeing his resurrection, still was not ready for ministry work. And it's sad to say that a lot of our churches today, even though we know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we've experienced his saving power, we're still not equipped for ministry work. We're still not equipped for reaching out and going out. And so when we begin to see the missing element, it is evident in our text that the missing element is the power. Now understand, listen here, let's get this straight, because I'm going to prove to you that it's not the Holy Spirit's fault. It's our fault. Because the Holy Spirit is God all by himself. Did you hear what I said? Himself. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He is God all by himself. And here's the reason why I know, because in studying, you know, there was a council that was set up with the early church fathers. And they came together to discuss this matter of Jesus being divined. It's called the Nicene Council, 325 AD. And in this council, they came to realize and recognize that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And you would think that that would be enough, but dealing with church folk, dealing with people, it ain't just church folk, it's people. We always got to push the envelope a little bit. Because around 480 AD, they had to convene another council to determine whether the Holy Spirit was God. And so they came together and they sat down, they went through the scriptures, and they determined that the scriptures confirm that the Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament, and his work in the Old Testament is just like his work in the New Testament. That he is distinct from the Father, from the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here, let me give you this. You see, because it's the Father is the one who speaks creation into existence. We see that in the beginning, right? In the beginning, God what? Created the heavens and the earth. Well, how did he create it? He created it by speaking it. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So when Jesus speaks it, that's Jesus Christ right there, the spoken word. You get to verse number 2. It says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. Here again, we see all three are present at creation. So God's function is in creation. He is the creator of everything. Jesus' function is redemption. He came to redeem us. We see that when he was baptized at the River Jordan. You remember when he came down and said, John, you got to baptize me. And when John baptized him, it said that the heavens opened up and a voice came from heaven and said, thou my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. At the same time, it said that the Spirit descended like a dove on Jesus. Here you see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus' function is the redemption of mankind. He comes to redeem mankind. But even at when he rose from the dead, the Bible tells us that all three rose Jesus from the dead. It says the Father rose him from the dead. Jesus said, if you tear down this table, I'll rise it up. He said he rose himself. But it also said that the Spirit rose him from the dead. So all three are present. All three are co-equal. The word for this in the Greek is homoousesio, which comes from two Greek words, the same substance. They are all of the same substance. There is not one of them that is any greater than the other. And they come together in what's known as a hypostatic union. That is the God coming into flesh, incarnated, but yet still keeping his spiritual form as a spirit. And it's in this that we see that the Holy Spirit comes in power as well as authority. Listen, how do these two verses connect? In Matthew, we have what's known as our Great Commission. Before Jesus left, he left us with a great commission. This commission fulfills what Jesus tells Peter, that we're going to be a blessing. We're going to bless the nations of the world. That's what the whole commission is about. And it says here that Jesus said that he had been given all power. Listen here, that word in the Greek can better be interpreted as authority. Jesus now has been given the authority. He is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is, listen, what Jesus is doing, Jesus is about to give the church his marching orders. He's about to tell us how he's going to accomplish this building of his church. Because he said, upon the faith in him, I will build my church. So Jesus said that under the authority of the fact that I've risen from the dead, I have the authority right now to set forth the marching orders for my church, the building of my church. Why? Because resurrection was proof positive. It was proof positive that he was who he said that he was. Who in the world can raise from the dead never to die again? Yeah, there were plenty of folk that Jesus rose from the dead, that the apostles rose from, that the Old Testament prophets rose from the dead, but they all died again. Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again. As a matter of fact, he's seated at the right hand side of the Father right now, making intercessions for us. He's still working on our behalf. So I did a contrast between these words, this word power that he said that he claimed that he has in Matthew, and this power that is given to us in the book of Acts. Because every last one of us that have been born again, listen to what I'm saying. Every last one that has been born by the Spirit of Christ has the power to live right. Did you get that? You can't blame it on anybody else. He's giving you the power. Listen, you got just as much power as I do. If you got the Holy Ghost living inside of you, it's the same Holy Ghost. I don't have any more Holy Ghost than you have. Here's the difference. All of us have the same Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ain't got the same amount of us. What you mean by that? In other words, some of us are quenching the Spirit of God. He's trying to get you to do some things and correct some things, and you won't let him do it. But listen, it's not until you allow him to come in and to fix those areas in your lives. It takes you surrendering. But listen, we bought into this thing. We bought into this sensationalism. The difference between the Holy Spirit and sensationalism. The Holy Spirit focuses on a genuine transformation of the lives of believers. It focuses on our obedience and our spiritual growth in him. Listen here, it is rooted in truth of God's word. That's the move of the Holy Spirit. The move of the Holy Spirit, it refers to us as surrendering and giving our lives to God. Giving up everything for him. Where sensationalism is built upon an emotional response to what is being said or what you're hearing. There's no real true transformation. You see, sensationalism sounds good. You know, it comes by way of great orators and people who know how to put sentences and paragraphs and phrases together. Well, I haven't been that kind of preacher. But I am a truth preacher. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to let you understand that, listen, there's an expectation that God has for all of us. It's not about you just coming in here feeling good about ourselves. I understand the fact that most time that I leave out here, I don't really feel great about myself. I don't always feel great about the message in which I've delivered. I'm always constantly scrutinizing, saying, God, I could have done better. There's some things that I could have said. God, maybe I shouldn't have said this. Maybe I shouldn't have put that there. Whatever it may be. The sensationalism is like Chinese food. It tastes good, but it won't last long. You see, because if you really want to get something that will stick to your ribs, Get you some greens. Some cornbread. Some roast. Amen, somebody. Some fried chicken. Come on, preachers. Something that's going to sustain you. Something that's going to hold you. But I'm afraid that in our churches today, there's far too many people who are bought into the sensationalism of Christianity. And understand, this is the churches have not always been like that. Listen, the early church, we'll cover it. The early church, you know, they were moved and they were by the Spirit of God to the point to where they were a blessing to not just themselves, but to other folk. And so when we look in the text that Jesus promises in Acts, the first chapter, he promised that, listen, that the Holy Spirit is going to come. You just need to wait. Now, this is where a lot of Pentecostalism get the fact of tarrying for the Holy Ghost. But we see in Scripture, in Ephesians, the first chapter, the Holy Spirit comes in at the moment of salvation. You ain't got to wait on him no more. Because the Bible said when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that the Spirit was poured out and it filled the room. So we don't have to tarry for the Holy Spirit. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and you say, listen, I believe what you've done for me. I believe the fact that you died on that cross. I believe that they buried you in the tomb. I believe that you rose on the third day with all power. God, come into my life and save me. When he comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in with him. This is what's known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The word baptism or baptist actually means baptismos, which means to actually either emerge or to place into. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is God placing you into his family. And every believer has been placed into the family of God by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, see nowhere in text where it's talking, he calls you to run, jump, and shout. Listen, and I'm not knocking it, because running, jumping, and shouting is a byproduct to the goodness of God. Because God has been so good to me, I can't help but wave my hand. Because God has been so good to me, I can't help but put running in my feet. But the reality of the Holy Spirit is that he comes to make us these witnesses. And so he said, you wait on the promise. The promise is coming. A few days, it's coming. Can't tell you exactly when, but it's coming. Because they begin to question Jesus about, well, are you about to set up your kingdom right now? Jesus said, listen, that's not for you. You're getting out your lane. Because we can get out of our lane sometimes. He said, listen, that's the time that the Father knows that. He said, but listen, let me tell you something. He said, the day's going to come, you're going to receive what? You're going to receive power. That was the promise. The promise was the power. The promise was the Holy Ghost. That was the promise that he made to us. And all of us are benefactors of that promise. Because Jesus left the earth, he was able to send the Comforter or send the Holy Spirit that he might be able to do the work that he's doing in our lives. And let me tell you something, I am grateful to the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. Every day I discover new things about me that the Holy Spirit reveals to me and gives me the power to be able to work out. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I pray to the Holy Spirit. Lord, Holy Spirit, thank you. Lead me today, guy. Show me what I'm coming up against. Give me insight. Holy Spirit, give me your wisdom that I might be able to navigate this life. And all of us need to be doing that. You need to get up and just think about your day and ask the Holy Spirit to give you direction. Listen, I remember when I said that, I was reminded of a lesson I learned in Little League Baseball. Little League Baseball, they used to teach you, when you went in the outfield, you know, they would tell you, say, this is what I want you to be thinking of when you're in the outfield. What do I do if the ball is hit to me? I know that sounds kind of insignificant, But listen, this is what it does. It forces you to look forward. It forces you, to look in anticipation. And the same way, when the ball is hit to me, I know whether to throw it to first base. I know whether to throw it home. I know whether to throw it to the cutoff man. Because why? I've already begun to think about it. I've already begun to formulate it. And sometimes in our lives, we need to wake up like that. We need to say, God, okay, what happens when the ball hit to me, God? What do I do? What happens in this meeting that I'm going to be in? What should I say? What happens when I encounter this individual? God, how do I respond? Far too many times we get caught off guard because we won't allow the Holy Spirit to pre-plan our day. So I begin with praying, Holy Spirit, lead me. God, I don't know what I'm up against. Some stuff I already know. I got meetings and so on and so forth. But God, some things I don't know. God, I'm going to need you to pre-plan my day for me. Give me what I need to get through this day. Because I don't know what this, I don't know what the world is going to give me. What is going to bring my way. But to know that I have power. To know that I got power to overcome. That's a great thing. Listen, understand the word here that he uses here for power in the eighth verse is dunamis power. It is where we get our word dynamite. Now look at here. Look at the text. It says that when he comes upon you, you shall receive power. Well, what is the power for? The power is to be witnesses. I don't want you to miss this. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes, number one, first and foremost, to get you right. It is not to get other folk right. Listen here, that is a byproduct of you becoming a witness. The word witness here in the Greek shares the same root word with the word martyr. You missed that. What is a martyr? A martyr is someone who is willing to give their lives for what they believe. Isn't it interesting that Jesus uses this word? I mean, come on, he gave up his life. If there's anybody that's able with the authority to tell you that you need to be a martyr, it would be Jesus. Listen, this is not Luke's word, the writer of this book. This is the word of Jesus. He said that you will be witness. He gives you the power to be witnesses. So listen. So in other words, what he's saying is that he said, listen here, before I send you out to work, I'm gonna work on you. As a matter of fact, you can't even go out to do any work until I work on you first. You can't be effective in your witness to win anybody until you get right. Till I get right. So that's the power that he gives us, the power that we might be able to live right. That we might be able to even give right. That we might be able to walk upright. Because it's all predicated and based upon the truth of God's word. That's what it's really based upon. What does God's word say about our lives and how we're living our lives? It causes a self-examination to look at ourselves, to scrutinize ourselves, our motives. If you say that you're saved and on your way to heaven, if you say that you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, then why are you still so mean? Then why can't you forgive? You finding it so difficult to forgive folk? Why is it that you were still carrying grudges that we should not be carrying? Why is it that we're not submitting ourselves to the Word of God like we ought to be submitting ourselves to the Word of God? Some of us are still walking around with the past hurts from our childhood. We have not resolved yet. Some of us ain't spoke to loved ones in weeks. months, years, centuries, decades. But oh, we got the Holy Spirit. You know, I got the Holy Spirit. But you'll walk right up on folk and you won't even speak to them. You see, because it's the power. It's that dunamis power. Think about it. A dynamite is made up of three ingredients. But from the outside, you can't see none of them. The power is on the inside of the dynamite. Nitroglycerin is one of the product, the byproducts. But there's a product that's in there that's it's a stabilizer. It stabilizes the nitroglycerin so that it don't blow up out of time. You ever been there before? Some of us blowing up and we wail out of time. And it's not for the good. But understand that at the right timing, God will allow us to blow up as Christians, and not in a negative way. It'll be in a beautiful, positive way that will cause others to want what we have. You blow up with love and joy and peace, long-suffering, patience. That's the result of a dunamis or a power-filled life. It's not about us speaking in tongues. It's not about us jumping and shouting. It's not about any of that. Again, I'm not disparaging that. I'm just saying that the reality and the realness of the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. People have an opportunity to be blessed by you and just your presence of being there. People on your job should ought to feel blessed just to be in your presence. Not because it's anything about you, but it's about what's inside of you. Because ultimately what's inside of us will come out of us. This is the promise that God has made his church. That you have this power. And I don't want you to miss it. I don't want it to go over your head. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Don't you be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Reverend Davis has been doing a magnificent job. He started this week in Bible study on the Holy Spirit. Please, if you have not come out, please come out and partake of it. There's a great message. There's a great word here. Listen here. I began my Bible study with Christian conduct and Christian living, and us, you know, making sure that our character is right and it meets our conduct and so on and so forth. But realizing that, listen, it takes the Holy Spirit for us to live that matter in which God was given us in the Sermon on the Mount. It takes the Spirit of God being active in us submitting ourselves to him. This is critical important, that you submit yourself to his working on the inside of you. And it starts with your obedience to him. I know a lot of times we don't want to hear that word obedience, but it's true. We must obey his voice. We must be sensitive to his voice. And the problem that we've been too amped up on hearing the preacher's voice and not necessarily the Spirit's voice. Because it's the Spirit's voice that supersedes every voice. There's nothing on this earth that compares to the Spirit. And you can hear his voice. But sometimes you got to be quiet. Sometimes you just got to get in a real quiet space. Sometimes you got to just come into the presence of God and don't ask for anything. Just begin to sit there and say, okay, Lord, speak. Here am I. God, let me know what you want me to do. I'm going to be quiet, God. I'm going to let you speak, God. This is what you need. Every morning, every day, you need to do that. You need to get in a place, a quiet space, that you might be able to hear from him. Because listen here, it makes your life, it'll make your life so much, so much better. I guarantee you. I dare you to do it. I mean, you come up to me and say, Pastor, I did it. I mean, I'm just amazed. Why? Because he is an amazing God. And the Holy Spirit comes to do what he's going to do. With or without us. It's the Spirit of Christ. The same Spirit that Christ had in his life. The same Spirit that allowed him to surrender himself, to surrender his will to his Father's will. You know the story. In Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it be possible, I don't want to do this. Let this cup pass from me. And I don't know about you, I've been in situations like that. The thing that the Spirit was leading me to do, I didn't want to do it. I don't want to do that one. But I had a nevertheless moment like Jesus. Nevertheless, not my will, God, but your will be done. And it was Jesus that submitted himself. And we know, you know that it came by the power of the Holy Spirit. He submitted himself to people who were far inferior to him. He could have called on a legion of angels to wipe out all of them. But he submitted himself. He realized that I'm going to face this Roman crucifixion. I'm on my way to the cross. I'm about to do something that will change the history of the world. And so indeed, they convicted him of what we're still trying to figure out. Because he knew no sin, but yet he became sin that we might be able to benefit from his riches. He gave his life. Because all of us were on our way to a burning hell, every last one of us. None of us were living good enough to meet God's approval. We needed somebody to step in the gap for us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus stepped up to the plate. Suffered, bled, and died. Hung on a cross at Calvary. Put nails in his hands. Nailed him in his feet. Crown of thorns on his head. Can't you see the blood streaming down? It's the blood that makes the difference. He died for our sins. Look at here, even at Calvary, he said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. The Spirit of Christ was right there with him at Calvary. All three were present. The Father was looking on. Jesus hung, suffering, bleeding, and dying. The Spirit being commended unto the Father. Oh, they took him down after he died and put him in a tomb. Wasn't going to be there long. They're Friday. All day Saturday. But the record declared that on the third day with all power, he rose with heaven and earth. It's this power that we're talking about that gives us our marching orders. It's our mandate to go into all nations, making disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's our mandate. But Acts 1, it tells us our power that he gives us to go and be witnesses. And so it reported, it's time for us to be doers of God's word. And not just hearers. I know you're hearing it, but we need to pick this up and take it out to them that's out there. And then we need to live like we're trying to get folks saved. That's what really, he said that I come that you might be able to live in a way what folks won't want what you have. Excuse me. Jesus rose on the third day with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. That's the gospel message. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Come on, withholding nothing. Is there another? Surrender. Yes, Lord. That you sit patiently as our clerk thank you Lord with holy nothing will you bless us this morning. We have our mandate. We have the power. It was promised. I give you all of me. Can anybody honestly say that? I give you all. Jesus. I give you.
Good afternoon, church. To Pastor Minor and the entire Macedonia Baptist Church, we have come in by Christian Experience. Say your name again. Atred McAfee. And she's coming. She's on the watch care with you, but she's coming by Christian Experience.
Yes.
Okay. And we have Laverne Smith. She too is coming by Christian Experience. Coming home. And we have Rebecca Harris, who's also, Sandra Breckenridge, who's also a former member coming back home. We have Rebecca Harris coming by Christian Experience from Elington Baptist Church. And her two children, Sanaya Harris, candidate for baptism, and Savannah Harris, candidate for baptism.
Come on, church, put your hands together. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Amen, 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 amen. Let me start with you. Coming back home, we thank God for you. We've missed you. We're excited for you to be back home. We're glad to have you. We know you're going to pick up where you left off. Amen? Amen. Most folk think you are already a member. Our journey began a long time ago. You came by way of my son, Tyler. You started coming, and you just haven't stopped. We had a conversation on yesterday. She said, you've been my pastor, but I'm going to make it official tomorrow. See, a lot of times you don't know people's story. And Treb has a story to tell. And she's never been shy about being vulnerable and opening herself up. And I thank God for you. I do. I thank God for you. And I'm honored to call myself your pastor. Amen. Love you. Come on. All right. You said you was coming back. And you are here. Listen, God bless you. Elaton, I know that's a very fine church. I know that you come from good stock. And we are honored to have you here with us. And these are babies. This is my favorite right here. Come on, give me that. Yeah. So you guys ready to give your life to Jesus? You ready to give? Really? You know he will come and live inside of you? If you would just ask him. Listen, we're going to have Dr. Barron is going to come out and she's going to talk with you to make sure you really understand before we take you down in the water. And if she gives us okay, if she tells me that you understand and that you have received Christ as your Savior, we're going to baptize you. God's not afraid to get baptized, are you? Do you know what that is? That means I'm going to dunk you in some water. It's almost like going swimming. Well, I'm going to help you. Amen, amen. Listen, thank you so much. Thank you. Come on, put your hands together. Thank you so much. Listen, I don't take it for granted. We don't take it for granted. We are honored to have you as members here at the Macedonia Baptist Church. I'm going to have you go with Reverend Register, and he's going to have prayer with you and going to have you fill out some paperwork. And if everything checks out, we're going to give you the right hand of fellowship on the first Sunday. Amen. Amen, church. Come on, get a little hand clap of praise once again. Listen here. I neglected to mention at the beginning of our prayer for our sick is Reverend Davis is not here. Sister Davis had a procedure done, so he's at home attending to her, and I'm asking that you'll put her on your prayer list as well, lift her up in prayer. We know the power of prayer. We know the result of prayer. And one of the things that I purpose that we're going to be a praying church. We're going to be a praying church. We know that the prayers of the righteous avails much. Again, thank you so much for wearing your pink. You look good. Amen. 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 As a matter of fact, if you don't mind, I would like to get like a picture. Is T here? You got your camera? Okay. Next time, bring your camera, son. I was going to get a picture, but maybe we'll save it for next year. If our hearts are satisfied and we know that Jesus Christ is Lord, please stand to your feet. Those who desire prayer, come down to the throne of grace. It's kind of ironic because also got word from a family member just on a couple weeks ago that she's been diagnosed with breast cancer. So she's already in your bulletin. So continue to pray for those that are living with breast cancer. And again, once I say again, make sure you get early detection. Make sure that they know. You need to know. Amen. Let us go before the Lord. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this afternoon, God. We thank you and we praise you, God, for all that you do. And God, we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that God, you be pleased with what has been said today, Father. We thank you and we praise you for your word, God. And Lord, we pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will overshadow us. That God will understand that we need to be sensitive to his direction, to his voice. And that God will stop quenching him as he desires what's best for us. I pray, God, that we won't grieve him, God, with the decisions that we make, God. I'm praying, God, that your word will be planted in our hearts, that we will be moved and motivated to do your will, God, to honor you for who you are, God. Because, God, we know that you're coming back for a church that is on the battlefield, but yet even in the vineyards, God. I pray right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would have that spirit of evangelism, Heavenly Father, Lord. That God, we would share your word, Lord, with this sin-sick world, God. God, that we'll share it with those, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we encounter. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would move mightily right now in the hearts of these, your people, God. That, Lord, you'll take us, Heavenly Father, Lord, to our various destinations, God. That, Father, you would bless us, Heavenly Father, Lord, to be a blessing, God. We pray for Sister Davis right now. We pray for Reverend Davis, God. We're asking your healing power, God. We pray for the entire sick list, God, once again. Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the Maxwell London family, God. Pray, God, that you would give them healing right now, Father. That, God, you would restore, God, what the enemy has tried to take, Father. Because, God, we realize that it all belongs to you, God. So, God, so whatever was lost, Heavenly Father, Lord, in the fire, God, you can replace with your fire, God. God, we're praying right now, Father, for this world in which we live, God. Give us peace. But yet, Lord, let us take your word. And if it takes war, God, then let us be ready, Father. Let us be ready with our prayers, God. Let us be ready with the word of God, Father. Because you gave us the template, God. Bless now and we shall be blessed, God. We honor you. Keep us until we come again. Keep us in your care. Watch over us, God. Pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for a young man who took his life. I pray for the family, God. Young man who dealing with situations and circumstances, God, that were beyond his control, God. And God, I know that suicide is not the answer, God. But there are those, Heavenly Father, Lord, who are on the brink of it, God. And I feel led to pray for them right now, Heavenly Father, Lord. I pray to God that you'll send somebody, Father, Lord, that might be able to speak a word. I pray for the lady that came into the church today, Heavenly Father, Lord. I pray a special prayer for her, God. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that whatever she's up against, whatever she's challenged with. I'm speaking life. I'm speaking abundance, God. I'm speaking faith in Jesus Christ, Lord. Touch her right now in the name of Jesus, God. Touch those, Heavenly Father, Lord, that went up, that have joined today, Father. We bless your name for them, God. We honor you today. We praise your name. It is in the matchless name of Jesus Christ that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, hence, and forevermore. Let every heart sing. Amen.